You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Stick Together. I'm Amy Ciara, and my pronouns are she, her, or they, them. And you're listening to the only national program focusing on union news, workers' stories, and social justice issues. This program is produced in Melbourne for 3CR and broadcast across the Community Radio Network with the support of the Community Broadcasting Foundation on the stolen lands of the Kulin Nation. And we pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. In today's episode, we hear from fellow 3CR programmer Rob about their work as a tree planter under piece rate pay. Rob is working with the CFMEU as a HSR rep to improve the conditions and safety for workers in their industry. Today, we discuss what exactly it's like doing their kind of work, and then hopefully in a future episode, we'll hear more about how they're getting on to improve the health and safety conditions for themselves and their fellow workers. Let's hear from Rob.
Hello, I'm Rob. My pronouns are they, them. I'm a proud non-binary and queer person. I work as a tree planter, although technically I'm just a labour hire person.
Yeah.
But my job is to do one thing and one thing only, and that's to put trees in the ground. Mm-hmm. Which is a very niche job, I feel, which I've been doing for about five years. Mm-hmm. In August will be 5 years for me, which in civil construction tree planting, I feel is a long time. Mm-hmm. There's obviously a lot of forestry tree planters who've been doing it for 5 years, but if you plant trees in forestry, you're working for like 4 months of the year. Mm-hmm. Like grinding really hard into really horrible piece rate conditions.
Yeah.
I mean, civil construction is under piece rate as well, as in we get paid per tree.
Yeah.
But it's not, I mean, it is bad, but it's not as bad as forestry.
Hmm. And you're a member of the CFMEU?
I am a proud member of the CFMEU.
Yep. Let's talk a little bit about the piecemeal part more.
Tree planting is very competitive. It's obviously, it's kind of interesting politically because The more I physically plant, the more money I make.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the more money the boss makes as well. So mm-hmm. it's kind of interesting politically.
Mm. So you're not on a wage?
We have like a base rate.
Okay.
So I think I'm paid like a dollar above the award minimum, which is like
okay.
$32.50.
Right.
I think the award is $31.30 or something as it stands.
Per hour.
Per hour.
So how does that work with the piecemeal thing?
And then if you plant more trees, so every tree has a price.
Yep.
So like usually the smallest trees we plant are worth 25 cents.
Okay.
Into mulch. So if you plant, I don't know, 120 trees an hour,
mm-hmm.
that's like $30 an hour.
Yeah. Okay. So you're expected to plant roughly that amount every hour, 120.
Way more.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's so competitive.
Mm. And these are the little planter tube stocks?
Like a Heiko, yeah.
Yeah, so they're like 15 centimetres deep.
Yeah, something
and,
like that.
And like 5 centimetres wide. So we're not talking the big
pots. It's not like a big tree. And that's why, like, I mean, I've done like 3,300 trees in a day before.
Okay, yeah. That's a lot of trees.
Which is like $500 in a day.
That's a lot of digging. That's 33.
A lot of digging, yeah. But as I said, we have these custom shovels with a really small blade.
How does working in different soil conditions affect that? Because, for example, mm-hmm. I have a story. Once we were told by our boss we were expected to plant, I can't remember what it was, but these were the bigger size trees in like a pretty mm-hmm. big deep pots. We were told to plant. We were expected to get like one every couple minutes or something in the ground.
Right.
And then it was a clay. It was a very heavy clay soil.
Yes.
And we were given just typical garden shovels because we never paid for proper gear. And we couldn't get through the top, like, couple centimetres. It was rock hard. And so the boss was like, what are you doing? You're taking so long. And then my coworker, the legend, dropped told us to drop everything, handed the boss the shovel, and he said, you try.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, tree planting is so competitive. Like, I work for, like, the highest paid tree planting company. And they're pretty, like, confident about it, right?
Yeah.
But it's so competitive that if you're not making, like, bonus, like, if you're not planting above the hourly rate, like, pretty consistently, then, like, you won't really last long.
Yeah. And so does soil conditions affect
soil conditions that? Obviously are a huge part of the job.
Yeah, and so, what bosses understand that? Like, how do they respond to this?
I mean, okay, so, like, there's two different... We get a higher price if the soil is what's known as compacted.
Yep.
Or if it's the regular price is uncompacted or semi-compacted, that's the same price. But obviously it's slower. And I find the line between what is semi-compacted and what's compacted, in my experience, as my career has evolved, that line is only getting bigger. So, like, it's getting harder to claim trees as compacted. Because the boss is like, oh, well, it took you 3 hits of your shovel to put that tiny plant to the ground. I'm like, that's 3 hits. That's 2 hits too many. And it is, in my opinion, a health risk.
And also impact. So when you strike a hard surface, that has a physical effect and a long-term toll on your body.
Yes. And I'm lucky enough, like, touch wood, to not have had an injury from my tree planting. But I have known so many people to be, like, chewed up and spat out by the industry because of just a lack of protection, a lack of consciousness within the industry that workers actually do have a right when you do get injured for your boss to provide you an alternative work and to make sure that, realistically, you should not be coming to work and getting injured. Like, that's just not something that should be happening, right? But the lack of concern for the sustainability of tree planting is a real concern for me.
I would say that's across pretty much any green space industry. I think we all share many concerns about the overlap of capitalist growth and profits and actually sustainable practices that look after the environment that we depend on.
And it's been really interesting. I've been the health and safety rep for almost 2 years. So approaching it from that lens has been really interesting. And yeah, I find it also really exciting to be able to contribute to the union movement in that regard, because as you can probably attest, Amy, there is sadly a lack of union consciousness within the landscaping space. Is there?
Yes. The gardening and landscaping used to be a lot more in-house jobs.
That's the thing, like, tree planting as a niche, like, landscaping companies will subcontract us to do, say, like, they have a wetland they have to build and there's 500,000 plants. A landscaping company will subcontract the company I work for or another tree planting company. We are labor hire, but we do one thing and one thing only, and that's just all day, every day, 8 hours, put trees in the ground. Trees, as in, like, a very loose term, is, like, it's usually just, like, native grasses, right? And that is why I think it's sad that tree planting has cannibalized the landscaping industry in that way.
Yes, because actually Victoria is meant to have lots of grass plains as well. So I suspect that there's one of the conversations I've had with First Nations people here is that they've seen tree planting projects on areas that should be grasslands and that have evolved to grasslands, and the carbon storage is better there if it's a grassland rather than a tree.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And the sad part is, as tree planters, we don't really have any say in what we plant. I think all the time, like, it's somehow we've gotten into the situation where most, like, I would say 98% of the plants we put in the ground are native indigenous plants. Somehow that has happened. But obviously, like, if we go to a site and it's like, okay, they want 1,500 jasmine plants put in the ground, here you go. People are just going to do it. You know, and I think piece rate really is in contradiction to so many ethical questions that we have.
Well, most of the land in Melbourne and now Geelong has been thoroughly assessed under the Melbourne and Geelong strategic assessments, which means there's very good data and surveying of the cultural sensitivities for First Nations people around potential like tools and things that have been left behind or are still there, and also what was there endemically. And I find it interesting when a tree planting company goes out to do something, because there's really good research and information about the diversity of plants. And then when a tree company comes along and just plants all trees, I'm like, well, that's not actually restoring what was there. But the other thing I think is interesting, you're a subcontractor for a contractor who's working, say, for, let's just throw out a Parks Victoria. So let's just say that, for example, as an example. I'm not saying that's every case. Maybe it's a council, whatever. So the council has a budget. Or we'll just stick with the council for this situation. Council has a budget. They say they have a contractor slash labour hire who they go to for these civil construction jobs. This job is now, or maybe they do my the company that I've worked for, the companies I've worked for, where it's like gardening and landscaping, and they go, no, we want this many trees planted here. Contractor goes, all right, it's going to be more affordable for us if we just broker a deal for a subcontractor to do a huge amount of trees really quickly. Our guys can't do it, or we don't have the employees to do it, that, or the tools or equipment to do it that quickly. The subcontractor is cheaper and they will get a lot more done and a lot more planted. And so the money has gone from a budget that has been presumably come from the state to the maintainer, like the council, the people responsible for it. And it's changed hands twice by the time it gets to you, the wage earner.
So many times. And yeah, there's
And you're about speed and a quantity rather than quality.
Yeah, I mean, piece rate is always going to be against quality, because like if you're encouraging people to plant as many, do something as many times as possible to earn, it's like, would you rather be on 30, this is how I explain it to people, I'm like, would you rather be on $31 an hour or would you rather be on like $60 or $70 an hour? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Planting like 300 plants an hour.
Well, if you were a, say you were working for council.
Yeah.
Most, now, should add that a lot of councils currently in Victoria are council workers are arguing for higher wages, but typically from what I've seen out there, they are $10,000 to $20,000 higher salaried or waged workers working directly as directly employed council workers than subcontractors.
But that's the way it should be, right? And it's so sad, like as I was saying before, like it's so sad that the tree planting niche in particular has cannibalized so much of the landscaping industry, because it takes away, like, imagine if you had five people working full time all the time, doing the entire project from start to finish, planting all of the trees, doing all of the softscaping, doing the walls, whatever. Instead, you just have like a landscaping company, which only does the hardscaping, like the concreting and the prep and stuff like that. And then a tree planting company, which just works for like 3 weeks, plants 200,000 trees.
Yeah.
You're listening to Stick Together, workers' stories and union news.
You're listening to an interview I did with Rob, a tree planter who works for piecemeal rates and what the conditions are like in their industry. I'd like to ask you a little bit more about your conditions.
Yes.
So is it typical for people in your industry to have uniform provided, PPE provided?
Uniform, yes. PPE, not so much.
Okay, so even company paying for steel cut boots?
No.
Really?
Yes.
When you're digging in the ground with pointed metal shovels?
We're expected to wear them.
Yeah.
But being provided, no.
Okay.
This is what I mean, like gloves, we're expected to pay for ourselves. The gear, like the shovels and the like the custom-made shovels and the bags that we wear, we pay a deposit to... You know, like
out of your own pocket?
Yes.
Okay.
Which we get when we first join the company, and you get it back when you leave the company. It's not typical in my experience over my 5 years for gloves, glasses,
sunscreen,
earplugs, sunscreen, no.
Hats?
Hats, no. And I'm a bald person with English heritage.
Yep.
Like, I need to be wearing a hat and sunscreen at all times.
Yeah, so you pay out of pocket for those things?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did they tell you you can collect it on tax?
I mean, I do, and that's only because I'm, you know, staunch about this kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, but it is really sad when PPE is not provided to us, even though our employer is legally required to.
Are you under the same 35 degrees stop work that other construction workers enjoy under the CFMEU?
The CFMEU, yes, yep. Because we have a CFMEU EBA,
yep.
Which I work for the first tree planting company to get an EBA with the CFMEU, thank God.
Yep.
Because before that, I was a person working in tree planting with very strong unionist values, but like because of my wages, were sort of being people I would work with were being forced to break, to go against the rules that are so good for workers on CFMEU sites.
Yeah. And what has the CFMEU brought to your workplace that's been good?
It's not as, I mean.
Has it improved the EBA negotiations? Generally, bringing a union into EBA negotiations brings a lot of expertise and knowledge about your rights and conditions at work.
It's way more sustainable.
Yeah.
It's way more sustainable, I think. Like, I mean, I think on non-EBA sites, that sites without a CFMEU presence, it's sort of like earn piece rate, and that's the only way you're going to earn a reasonable amount of money. But on CFMEU sites, it's like, you're paid for the full day, you're super good, you've got long service leave, and you've got your redundancy pay, things that just don't exist outside of sites within CFMEU presence.
Yep.
So I think it's brought a lot of sustainability to the industry and a lot of thinking. It's like, okay, the piece rate, just like, let's not worry about how many plants you're putting in a day. And because we've got better conditions and pay on CFMEU sites.
Yeah.
We're not really like focused on like, I've been in situations before where planters are like, okay, this is happening on site and it's definitely dangerous, but I'm being paid per plant. I just have to keep working even though it's like potentially dangerous.
Yeah.
That's what piece rate does to people.
Yeah.
On CFMEU sites, there is a very heartwarming lack of that.
Yep.
Because it's like, it's all good.
Yep.
You know.
What about breaks? Do you get smoko? Do you get
Well, lunch? That's legally enshrined in the law either way, whether you're on CFMEU site or not, right? But typically the tree planting culture is very capitalistic, Amy.
Yep.
So people aren't really known to take their breaks. Yeah. We're typically on sites without a toilet as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or any kind of hygiene amenities. So people aren't typically taking their breaks. I've known people to not go to the toilet at work for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Pretty much every day of their lives, because it'd be better for them to, they can earn more money if they don't take a break. And if they don't like drive 10 minutes to the next servo and go to the toilet. For years, people have done that.
Yeah. Whereas the potential power through campaigning with a union means that you can fight to change that if you challenge this piecemeal arrangement, because the piecemeal
is affected, right?
Yeah.
And we still have piece rate on, because I think tree planters are so used to, as a culture, are so used to the piece rate situation, it'd be hard to take that away.
It's how they make their money off you.
It's how they make their money off us, correct. So,
like, as well as not providing PPE.
I think if they removed piece rate, they would suddenly be like, but what if they're unproductive workers? Where it's like, on a CFMEU site, I'm putting in a much safer amount of trees for my body. I'm doing it in a much safer way.
Yeah.
Whereas on non-EBA sites, it's much more like, put plants in the ground no matter what.
Yeah. When you started working for these companies, did you ever do inductions on how to properly do the digging and how to properly do the job?
Yes.
Yep. Were they adequate? Were they sort of online? How did they go?
I mean, I'm a very curious person, and I also don't have any formal training in landscaping.
Yeah, most right. people don't.
Most people don't. So I do know a lot, and I'm very training focused with people, other people I work for. But I know that that's not necessarily the case for the whole place.
I ask this because even something simple as how to properly move a wheelbarrow
yes.
could save years of back pain.
I mean, the tree planting itself, like how to plant a tree.
Yeah.
I feel like I've learned a lot about that.
Yeah.
But anything else within the labor hire world, like how to move, how to use a wheelbarrow correctly, how to unload things from a truck.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. Like sometimes we deal with 100 liter trees, which is obviously, it's a cubic meter of soil.
Yeah.
Plus a tree.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
Do you ever climb into back of trucks and trailers?
The delivery trucks, sometimes.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen.
Do you have steps or step ladders to do that?
No.
No one does. It's all good.
That's what I mean. I mean, and like technically, and the non-EBA side, we're not even like the quote-unquote pre-start, like the safety walk that you should do every morning.
JSA swims.
The JSA swims, that kind of stuff. That's quote-unquote included in our piece rate. Which basically means that it's not included. Which I'm like, if you're including in the piece rate, you're discouraging people from having a safety onus.
Yeah.
Or a focus on safety, right?
Yeah. What's it like doing a JSA swims? Is it quite sort of like, I'll just tick it up, tick the boxes, get it done as quickly as possible and then start work?
For most people.
That's mostly in just like gardening and landscaping industry.
Yeah. And
so
especially
is there
when
a walk around the site where maybe the team leader, if there is one, walks around the site, identifies hazards like potentially barbed wire or fencing that's around, looks for needles or broken glass, looks for little holes left by foxes and rabbits that people could fall into?
No, none of that.
And they're not marked out with cones or anything like that?
It's such a sad, in my experience, it's been a very case of like, oh, the landscaper knows.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Rather than...
I ask you these questions knowing the answers, by the way.
Yeah, of course. So it's really sad. And I think that's... I don't know why, like... I think I know the answer. It's just like so many people within the union movement view landscapers just differently to everybody else in the construction industry. And I think it's partially because of that. They're just like, the tree planting company says the landscaping company knows all of the dangers of the site when that's not really how it's meant to be. And then the landscaper may or may not just pass that on to like, oh, the builder knows, it's all good.
It's like they all have common sense, they won't hurt themselves kind
of
thing.
Yeah, there's not really like, I mean, I'm only fortunate enough to have that knowledge because, as I said, I've been the health and safety representative for my workplace for almost 2 years. And I've done health and safety representative training, so I've sort of learnt and, you know, I talked to a lot of shop stewards on CFMU sites about this stuff. I've sort of learning a lot about this safety focus.
Yeah. Do you think there's been adequate training and upskilling in your line of work? Do you think that, like, for example, this could be if you have to drive a vehicle, trailer, like using and trailing, driving a vehicle with a trailer, or first aid training? Do you have nominated first aiders at every site all the time? What's the deal with that?
No. There's no at the company I work for, there is no first aid training. There is no one who's first aid trained. It's actually at the point where
Is it in your EBA that there should be someone first aid trained? Because sometimes it isn't, and that can be a thing to bargain for next time.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But most of our training in terms of like driving and stuff like that is non-existent.
Yeah.
And even if it is, it's all online.
Yeah, I guess it's kept you fit. At least as a job.
Yeah. And like in the worst days of my job, I just think about like I'm being paid to be outside and listen to music.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good, but then it also just like you forget how good it could be. You know? Like, sure, it's nice to be like, okay, I can earn $400 by 11 o'clock and then go home because there's no trees left. But imagine if it was like you could be paid a salary
yeah.
to work your job, and regardless of how many trees you put in the ground, mm-hmm. you know.
What happens when it rains?
You keep working.
Is there a stop work for any level of rain?
On CFMU sites, of course.
Yeah.
Rain stops.
Rain fog drops, work stops.
Rain, yeah, wet steel, no deal.
Yeah.
Fog, lightning, all of that stuff. But the only like reasons we have those safety is because of the staunch mm-hmm. pushes from the CFMEU.
Yeah.
Thank God for them. On non-EBA sites, it's really non-existent.
Yeah.
And it's really hard because of the piece rate culture by both the employees and the employers in the space. It's like the only thing that matters is how many trees you put in the ground.
Hmm.
You know, don't worry about like, oh, there's a bit of water. Don't worry. There's like potentially like wires in the ground. Don't worry. There's a potentially needles in the ground, you know.
Yeah. What is leave like with piecemeal work?
As far as I know, every tree planting company in the state, everyone is casual.
Everyone is casual, yep.
Yes.
So there's no permanent part-time, anything like that?
Unless you're office staff.
Okay, right. Do you have a pay classification structure in your EBA, which is basically unskilled, skilled, qualified, that kind of thing? Because you're all unskilled labourers. They wouldn't really be... I don't see how there would be...
Room. We all do the same job.
Yeah, so...
Plant trees.
But I guess my question is that if you've been there for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, there's nothing in the EBA about that.
I mean, the CFMU work, CFMU EBA, definitely not.
Yeah.
Because why would there be? We're all workers doing the same job.
Mm. Well, it doesn't matter. If you're a crane driver and a crane operator and you've been operating 20 years, in some sites you might get paid better. So that's, I'm just showing.
My workplace on the non-EBA side has only recently introduced like tiers to pay.
Yeah.
Which is more to encourage longevity.
Yeah.
This is what they say. But then I always feel bad because the more experienced planters are earning higher prices, higher hourly rates, and they can also put more plants in the ground than the like less experienced counterparts.
Yeah.
Even though we're doing the same. So I could put less trees in per day than someone else less experienced than me.
Yeah.
And still earn more money, which doesn't really make any sense to me because we're all putting trees in the ground. And of course, my boss is still making the same amount of money.
That's it for Stick Together this week. If you want to catch up with our program, the podcast is available at 3cr.org.au/stick-together or at your favorite podcast site. You can contact the producers of the show at sticktogether3cr@gmail.com. or by ringing 03-9419-8377 and leaving us a message. I personally would love to hear more stories of workers in green spaces, as they are vital to our survival on this planet. My name's Amy Ciara. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you do, there's a union for you. And until next time, stick together.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.